Okay, so now let's start. I know it's the last session of the day, so I will try to avoid having too many people sleeping and making more noise than I will do. The goal of this session is just to share an experience. And it's not teaching, it's not just a full set of nice demos of coding where we drop a code and run it and fail, but I will try to run it. No, you won't have any code, you will just have some explanation or information about what we did, the good things we found, the bad things we found, and how we achieve, not migration, but you will see. The second thing I would like to say is that I'm responsible for the development at BPA Solutions. That means I'm in the coding part. I'm not on the system part, so we have a guy who deals with the implementation and deployment on Azure, on SharePoint, and so on. So that means for this special part, I wouldn't be able to answer precisely to questions about deployment, but about coding you can ask. Okay, so the table of content of the presentation, just one slide about our company. The initial situation we faced 18 months ago, what we wanted to achieve, and the technical consideration we took in consideration to choose the architecture and the solution we decided to put in place, how we put them in place, and the result we got from them. And at the end, to be sure to have still somebody in the room at the end, the points of interest, so the things that we really learned from this experience. BPA Solutions is a small company. We are based in Neuchâtel. Reason why I don't speak in German. We have some people speaking German, but not in the development team. We develop solutions. That means we develop SharePoint application that we deliver all over the world. These applications work in more than 10 languages. They take all the good points of SharePoint. That means the users of our application can add lists, can add fields, can customize the list. They can change really the size. So that means that our applications must be able to deal with all these lists and all these fields that they are. They don't know, in fact, our application do not know the list they will have to work with. They know there is probably a list named contact in a CRM, but there can be a lot of other lists, and the user wants to show all these elements and to see and to work with these elements. Any information is the same. If it's the contact, which is a base of a CRM, or if it's like a product list or something else, that the end user will have added, he must work with that in a simple way. So that means our application has to deal with this structure which is not really known. If you saw demonstration today or the usual Tech Days demonstration, they just create a list with name. It's the title, the product, the price, and so on and so on. They deploy, they run it, that's fine because you know the name of your fields. Here we don't know the name of the fields. So you will see that on an application which is deployed on Azure that has some impact. We have our office in Switzerland and one in the US. The US guy loves to have US suppliers. We have some customers worldwide, as I said, and a lot of languages. Again, it's something which is a problem when you, not a problem, but I mean you have to address this feature when you work on Azure. Initial situation, end of 2011, we had an existing large application. As I said, you saw that, a CRM and things like that. So it's a structure of some lists, a base structure of lists, template, site template, with, let's say, 20 or 30 web parts. Depends what you call a web part, but I mean 20 to 30 functionalities that are assembled and run inside this site. So you can send a mail, make a mail merge, query data through a list, and a lot of things like that. You will see some screenshot. And we had that running on-premise. So that it ran very fine on-premise with simple web parts, as we were used to work with 2007, 2010, with what's called SSOM data access methodology or methods. You know them, SPList, SPList item, and all this stuff, which are really fine to work with. I presume you all know that. It's fine, it's fast, it runs really pretty good. We were working with dynamic list fields and screen, as I told you. The user can design his screen. I mean, it's not really nice. It's not a screen like we see in real application. I mean, it's still web screens, but you can design the tabs where you want to put the fields, if a field is required, the rights on a field per user or per group, and all these kind of things. So there is a lot of customization around that. The BBA applications were not compatible with 365. It's obvious when you see that. I was not at all the session today, but I think you saw a lot of things about that. When you want to work with an application on 365, you have some models that you can use. You can use the application which are 100% HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. That's one thing. And the other model is to use C#. But if you use C# on Azure, on 365, you cannot deploy your C# code on the SharePoint servers. So that means you have to have this C# code running elsewhere. So you saw that perhaps in the previous version from Rene, who made some demonstration, and we saw one way of doing that, which is the auto-hosted deployment. Auto-hosted deployment, we will see that later, but it's when you create an application with C#, with HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and so on, and then you deploy that, and you have a part which goes inside SharePoint, which is, in fact, the frame of the web part, and the C# running part of these web part must run somewhere else. In our case, we decided, you will see that, to run it on Azure. But you can run it on a server somewhere else. So it's the problem that our application were not able to run on 365, and we wanted to make it run on 365 to offer our application to this world. That's interesting, I think, for at least two kind of users or clients or developers. First, the one who wants to offer something on 365. I mean, perhaps somebody wants to create an application 100% 365. Our goal was more ambitious. It was to create an application which can run on both worlds, with a lot of code running, I mean, the same code on both platform, on-premise and on 365, and that's the main part of the presentation that you will see today. It can be something interesting for the people who think they will perhaps go to 365 in some days, weeks, months, years. They say, okay, but we are currently developing on-premise. I don't want to throw all that away in some months or day or years. So I would like to create already an application which is more or less ready to be ported or to run on 365. So the information I will give you will be quite interesting for that. And another thing for us is that we are not large enough to develop and maintain two applications, one on-premise with the nice CSOM, nice and fast CSOM, and we already had all the code running. And to develop a new one on Azure, no, we cannot do that. We are not big enough. And we wanted, when we create a new functionality, to be able to publish it or to make it available to both worlds with as less effort as possible. So just some screen so that you can imagine the kind of complexity we had to deal with. So that's on-premise screens. You will see online screens later. That's the homepage of our application, where you have a navigation, so quite easy. I mean, it's just quick links. But here you have what we call data viewer, so that grabs data from SharePoint, and that displays the data and permits to filter them. We have tabs. Okay, seems very easy. Except that, as I told you, we don't know which kind of information we have we want to display. I mean, the customer can change all the columns, he can change all what he wants. So that means this component, which is called data viewer, must grab the information about the structure of the list, so the list of the list, the structure of the list, the specification of the fields to know how to display the fields, if it's a hyperlink, to know where to go, and all these kind of things. And some special fields that we developed, which are what we call custom fields, which permit to insert some formulas which are more complex than the simple calculated fields. Another thing is to have the tabs, which permits to have two data viewers or more than two data viewers, just the one beside the other, without to compute the other. I mean, when you press here, this one disappears, you see the other one. But the goal is to make that in AJAX, I mean in jQuery, to avoid redisplaying the full page. Usually in SharePoint, you pass from one page to another to see two lists of information. Here you can just pass from one to the other just to show another information. So that's the kind of thing which are quite easy to do and fast on-premise. Detail page, same kind of thing. I mean, nothing special, data that we display plus a lot of small functionalities. I didn't pick the ribbon here, but you have a lot of functionalities which are in the ribbon. I don't know if I have that in a later screen, but we insert the actions in the ribbon. So data editor, we created a data editor which permits to handle a lot of data. We found that in SharePoint to have a huge crawler is not really fine, so we developed that. So again, very easy on-premise. The goal was to port that on Azure. As I said before, a web port in Azure, I mean on 365, can have no C# code. You can imagine you create that, you develop that all in JavaScript. It's possible. We'll speak about that later. So here you see behind a tool which permits to send mails, again, with some special features. A query. That's, again, a tool which looks not so complex, but in fact it is. You choose a list, and then you can add a lot of conditions on this list, on the sons, and on the parent. I mean, you can say, I want to see all the contacts which belong to an account which is in Switzerland, or to all the contacts which has opportunities, and I want that the sum of the open opportunities makes more than 2,000, something like that. So quite a complex tool. So in this kind of tool, you imagine the code. There is two kind of, or two parts in the code. One part is to display all that. I mean, to display that. And then the other thing is to get the information, to filter, to create a result list, and so on. So I'm OK to develop that twice. Perhaps I'm OK to develop that twice, to display that in a way on 365 and another way on-premise, but I don't want to redevelop all the query part twice. I don't want to develop the send email twice. On the SharePoint machine, if you develop JavaScript and all this kind of thing, you will not be able to send a mail. You have to do that on an Azure, I mean on another machine on Azure or on your own host. So the goal, differentiate the technologies and architecture to provide an application with quite the same features online and on-premise. Currently, we have not ported all the applications, all the web parts. We have the biggest web parts are running online and on-premise with the same features, but they are not all ready. We want to use the most efficient technologies. Goal was to have the best speed and keep all the capabilities of the on-premise applications. Third one is, as I said, to have as much as possible the same code and at a competitive price. That's the reason why we wanted to develop everything once. So the profit that we had, 18 months ago, we were part of a program of Microsoft which permit to access to an alpha version of SharePoint 2013, so SharePoint 15, and to speak with the guys from Redmond. So that means we explained what we did. They saw the web part, and we explained how it worked behind. And they said, oh, on 365, no. And then we discussed what we could do. And we found some ways to make a quite complex application run on Azure and on 365. So I can only thank them. I think we wouldn't be able to do that without them. So perhaps some of the things I will show you now, you already saw them on previous sessions, so I will go fast on these slides. So with SharePoint 15 apps, as you saw, you can do that with hosted apps. You can have cloud hosted with provider hosted, auto hosted, all this stuff. But mainly the things that we have to keep in mind are that an app contains HTML, JavaScript, CSS, site templates, all this kind of stuff, declarative, manifest, and all this stuff. And they are stored on the SharePoint servers and then downloaded to the user's device for the HTML and JavaScript and CSS and cached and so on. Then you can use ASPX with C# running on Azure servers. Okay. And you have configuration files. You saw that today when you saw a lot of new project F5, and it was just spread to the servers. It's what's written under. I can assure you that 18 months ago, it was not F5. But now the F5 is working. So we work with what we call client web ports, which run without the C#, as I said. But the JavaScript themselves call Azure, Azure applications, from the client, I mean from the PC. And it's the Azure which will call the SharePoint servers to get data. You will see that in a slide later. So the point is this one. You know what CSOM? Yeah? If you don't know, you will learn. If you don't love it, you won't love it. And the other thing was the problem of the dynamic ribbon. As I told you, we inject action in the ribbon. And we were not able up to now, perhaps in the latest release, we will check, but we were not able to find something to inject dynamically actions to the ribbon. I mean, from the web part when it runs to add information or to add actions to the ribbon. When you build an application, a fixed application, you can create actions which will be added to the ribbon, but not dynamically. At least it was not the case. So the Azure programs are able to call SharePoint. You probably saw that today, but you didn't notice it. It's something which is called a token, which is passed with the web parts. So it's taken from the JavaScript side, and it's sent to Asia. So Asia receives this token and can open what I would call a channel to SharePoint. So that means that the Azure application is able to get the data with your authentication, I mean, with your name. When it will change an information, it will sign it with your name, and the access, data access will be done with this token. So that means if you are not allowed to get data, you won't get it. That was one thing which was very problematic at the beginning of last year, and we had some discussion with the labs in Redmond because it was not possible to pass the user authentication. So it was the goal. I mean, we did not ask them to develop that. It was the goal to do that, but it did not work at the beginning of last year. Now it works perfectly. I mean, it's really the rights of the user which are used. And that's very important if you want to play with Azure. You can run, for example, if you have a work process or things like that, you can run with apps, right? So that means Azure can run some functionalities or some actions that the user is not allowed to do. Currently, we don't do that. We will have to do that, but currently, we do everything with the user's rights, which are a base in a CRM. I mean, if everything can see everything, that could be a real problem. Another thing that Azure programs can do is to call external servers. In our case, it was SMTP servers, which is very important, for example, for sending mails or things like that. I mean, it's really important. Azure can do that. We cannot do that directly from the SharePoint servers. I mean, an alert can run, but Webpart cannot send a mail. It can access local data, like files, simple files. So why? Perhaps for caching. As I said, I need to know the structure of the list, the list of the list, and the type of each field, if they are required, if they have rules on, if they, so the format, the digits that should be displayed, and so on. All this information, I need to have them. So I will call this SharePoint server at the beginning to get this information. I will store that in local files with a simple serialization, and then I can unserialize the or deserialize the files to get the information back. It's much more efficient to read a file and to deserialize it than to call the SharePoint server to get this information again. So like all cache, you have some time to ask SharePoint if the list changed. So in this aspect, perhaps you already tried some apps and you saw that the end user normally in an app cannot create by himself, create a list and a field inside the app, I mean. So that means that we will develop, currently it's not about, we will develop a small tool to create list and fields. So it's really easy to create list, fields, and views. So that means we will know whether the user will have changed that. So that means we can clear the cache. But that's something very interesting to take these files in count and to use them. And again, Azure is able to run batch jobs, which is not the case in SharePoint. I mean, it can run workflows and things like that, but the notion of batch jobs is not really inside SharePoint. I mean, you can create jobs, but you have to develop them, and it's not an end-user job. We permit to the end-user to create their own jobs. And last thing, which is interesting, take care if you develop apps, collocation. It's something which is quite easy, but you have to take care to specify that you want your application to be collocated. Otherwise, you could have, and we had that at the beginning, it was fine, SharePoint in Europe and Azure in the US. It's not so fast. So the way to online for us to port our application to SharePoint 365, we had, in fact, two paths, I would say. One is the classic SharePoint and JavaScript with client web parts with all in JavaScript. I mean, it was a possible way, I mean, just to recode everything in JavaScript. Yes, and it could run on-premise too, I mean, no problem. The other was SharePoint and Azure, and as I spoke about Azure since now the beginning of the session, you understood that it's the way we chose. The elements that we took in account to make our decision. Response time was a problem. So CSUM has constraint to obtain good response time. We'll speak about that in the point of interest at the end of the session. But CSUM is it fast? Is it not fast? I don't know. But I mean, it has to get data from one server to another. It's serialized. It's passed in a text file. It's flown back to the Azure machine. It's unserialized, and then you work with that. I mean, it's not so slow, in fact. But there are some things which are slow. Slow calls between servers consume a bit of time. I mean, if I say I want the account 5, so account load account 5, execute query. Account 5 is here in half a second or less than half a second, fine. Then I want the contact 10, half a second, fine. Then I want the opportunity, half a second. Then I want the user, half a second. I'm already at 2 seconds. If I say I want the account 5, the contact 10, the user, and the opportunity 15, half a second. So that means you have to change your way of getting data. Sometimes you have to change your algorithm to get the data in a different way. If you can say, I want that and that and that, even if there is no link between them, I mean, I just need the user and I need the account. There is, okay, I want that, that, and that, and then I execute the query. That's fine. Otherwise, you're dead. And then executing CSUM, okay, it's not so fast, but from a laptop, I'm not sure it will help over the web to the servers, so bad point for this guy. JavaScript can easily, I mean, in JavaScript you can do all what you want. With CSUM you can call the server, you can get the data, change the data, do quite all what you want. But over the web, so with an application which deals with few data, that's fine. But if you do, if you work with a lot of data like we do, no, you cannot do that. Then all applications in JavaScript are on the laptop. I mean, the JavaScript is cached and is stored on your laptop. So that means the sources are on the laptop. You can scramble them. I mean, you can zip them. You can do all what you want. Anyhow, there are some ways of getting the information from that. So that means first you deliver your sources to your clients, to your competitors, to the hackers. That's fine. Perhaps we want to do that. And we wanted really to offer the same or close to the same functionalities on both platforms. So again, JavaScript, no. And no dynamic ribbon. So in JavaScript, you have no dynamic ribbon. In C-sharp, you don't have. So anyhow, we had to find a solution on that part. In fact, it's the only point where we were not able up to now to find really a way to have the same functionalities or the same design, the same behavior online and on-premise. We were not able to have a ribbon on the online version. So imagine some solution that we discarded with the help of Microsoft. I mean, we discarded them in our case. That doesn't mean it's bad solutions, but it's not solutions which were convenient for us. Most of the code in JS, so security, privacy problems, I said that. Speed, because of the data transfer between the laptop and the servers. JS portability, I have to say that I don't like JS. So I love C#, but I don't like JS. So I was really happy to find a way to discard it. But really, we have avoided these for other reasons than the fact that I did not like it. But portability caused problems. So again, as we sell an application, we have to support Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, Opera, and some other things like that. So that means that we have GS running on all these platforms. Then the other, to port our C# agent to code and transfer our data to SQL Server. I mean, it was a way to offer an online solution, I mean, to get rid of SharePoint and simply offer a solution with a C# on Azure and data inside SQL Server. You will see later in our solution that it's possible. I mean, we would be able to do that. But we so the good point is that we would be faster than SharePoint. To get data from SQL Server is much faster, and if it's on the same machine, it's even faster. But then for us, so a large part of application to redevelop, and most of them, the most important, we would lose all the out-of-the-box SharePoint features. Our clients love to integrate the Office world with the data, I mean, to insert the Word document, to make merge, and all this kind of stuff that SharePoint permits to do with versions, with all these features. So the architecture we chose, two architectures, one online, one on-premise. So online, the classic one. On-premise is the classic one, sorry. On-premise, C# code inside the web parts like we do since years and years, data inside SharePoint. Data handling is done with SSUM because CSUM is not so fast. It's better to do it like that. And a nice ribbon. Online, C# code on Azure with an auto-hosted application, apps, sorry. Data inside SharePoint, data handling with CSUM, and buttons inside the pages instead of a ribbon. Not a problem. There is something which is annoying on this page. In fact, it's two letters. This one and this one. That's the biggest problem. We have two ways of getting access to the data. So the other thing is, in some cases, not for that, but for some other small things we use is the Pragma that you know, perhaps. We have some parts of the code with that. For example, to select to inject the action to a ribbon or to a button, we use this kind of thing. But that permits to have exactly the same code. I mean, does the user is it possible for the user to add something? Yes, I want to add the add button, or to the add button to the ribbon, or to add the add button. It's just inside a Pragma. So that means it's the same code, except this damn CSUM, SSUM. We will come back to the CSUM and SSUM. So the architecture, quite, so seems easy now. I know they make much nicer picture than I do, but they are efficient. SharePoint site. You're on the PC or laptop or even on a Mac, I mean, on a browser. So you get a page, you have the page. Inside the page, you have iframes. It's the online version, I mean. The iframe, in fact, is just one web part. So the iframe is close to empty. It has just properties which says what it has to do. Is it a query? Is it a mail merge? Or some properties already set, like the list I want to display, the view I want to display, if I want to display the filters and all that stuff. So what we call web part properties. We'll speak about web part properties later, but these web part has properties. So it will call the Azure application, passing the token. Hey, guy, my name is so-and-so, and I would like to get the data viewer with the list contacts and with the view all contacts, and I would like to have the filters, and I would like so and so and so. Okay. Azure C# fast gets all that, compares that with the definition of the site. Okay, these lists exist. I mean, contact is fine. All items exist. It's fine. I can add some information perhaps and check some information. Then I call SharePoint with the token. Hey, my name is so and so. give me the information. It will only get the information that the user has right, information back, HTML page or portion of the page is prepared, sent to the jQuery here, which just replaces the small part of the screen. So I didn't show the online version. Just take that and try. You push it here inside the web part. It's exactly the same. It's an ASPX page. So online, we'll have the same diagram. I mean, it won't be an iframe. It will be a web part. Inside the web part, you have just a call, a jQuery call, which will call back this machine, the ASPX page, which is the same with some if. And it will get the information the same way, except that it will be in CSUM, in SSUM, sorry. It will, again, prepare the package, send back, and it will be displayed. So what's the result? So I think I didn't show the same quick launch. No, it's not. It's just a user which selects if he wants to see that in tides or the other way. But I mean, it's the same. It's the quick launch. Looks like the other one. Normally, it's the same code behind, or close to the same code behind, except that Azure, SharePoint, and back. Same result. Not the same. So we currently have a problem. We didn't find the solution. Perhaps you will have my name at the end. Send me a mail in some months. Perhaps we will have found the solution. We were not able to write the data editor with the nice tabs, but we were able to change some of the elements here. For example, here we have a jQuery, like a combo. I mean, you can type a part of the text and it will get the information with an autocomplete. But we were not able to set the tabs. We will work on that. So I didn't show the send email, but the send email is exactly the same. There is no difference between online and on-premise. Okay, I didn't solve the SSUM and CSUM. Shit. What are the problems that we, or problems of point of interest, I would say, about this solution? Four points, I would say: data access, web part pages, personalization, ribbon, and single solution. So data access is the biggest problem for two reasons. First is CSUM, SSUM, as I said, and the other one is the speed. I must say that if you call a server which is at the other side of Europe, which will call, a SharePoint machine, which will display the web part, which will call Azure, which will call SharePoint, even if it's on the same form, which will get the data back and send back to you, I mean, it takes time anyhow. And if you display, let's say, 10 web parts on a page, I mean, you have the quick launch, you have a search, you have a detail header, you have a chart at the right side, you have a data view below. I mean, you have easily 6 to 7 web parts. You can have even more. All these will each call the server. So even if you work with an auto-hosted, with a simple JS solution, you will SharePoint hosted, I mean, it will call the server many times. But here, you will call a server which will call another server 6 times. So it will be a problem. We speak about that probably later. If I forget, just tell me. We found a solution for this problem of multiple web parts calling a lot of time the server. So that access, the problem is that we have dynamic fields, lists, and screens. So the screen lists and fields are not known by our components, so we must read the SharePoint structure. And we developed what we call a data kernel. So it's your choice. I mean, I will give that in the summary. It's one of the things that you have to decide. Or you develop everything in CSUM, because CSUM will run on-premise, it will run on online. Fine, you develop everything in CSUM, but you will have to pay for that. I mean, even on online, CSUM won't be so fast than SSUM. So on-premise, it runs quite fast, but I mean, and you have to do that. I mean, probably your developers or yourself, you didn't use CSUM, so you have to recode some things. And you have to learn what's fast and what's not fast. For example, in SSUM, you get the information, get the full list. In CSUM, don't get the full list. Specify the fields you want to get. If you want to get three fields, it will be much, much faster than to get all the fields. In SSUM, you will lose 10% of your time. So get everything. So if sometime I need another field, I will have it. No, don't do that in CSUM. So you will have some things to learn, but do that in CSUM. We decided to develop what we call the data kernel, which is a kind of abstraction where we call the data kernel to tell him, give me the data from this list with this view sorted or so on. And this data kernel will call the SharePoint server in CSUM or in SSUM, and it will get the data back and with a format which is, our format, it's a C-sharp format. It's not CSUM, it's not SSUM, it's something which is flat, I would say, a simple double is double, I mean, a text is a simple string. So it permits to work easily with both. So that means in our web parts, we have the data kernel, which has CSUM and SSUM instructions. But inside the rest of the code, there is no CSUM and no SSUM instruction. The good point of that is when some company will invent the DSUM or ZSUM, we never know. We will just have to change the data kernel, the new way of accessing the data, and we won't change our developments. So it costs, but I mean, I think it's really interesting to do it like that. Then we cache some structure information. If you have fixed information or known list, known fields, you probably don't have to do that, but in our case, it was really important to do that. And we did that with serial files. We did some tests, and that's quite fast. There are some caching techniques which are available. We did not use them. Perhaps we will make some testing. But when we started the project, the way of caching were not really ready. We made some tests, and we had some problems. So we decided to work with serial files. And it was really fast, probably still in memory. I don't know. But it's really fast to get information from files. Caching system is not 100%, the same online and on-premise, because online you quite don't need to cache. I mean, you do not serialize, you just get the information for SharePoint, or you keep that in memory. So it's again, everything is in the kernel, so the end user doesn't care about that. He wants to know the list of the fields of view. Just ask that to the data kernel. On Azure, it will get that from the local cache. Otherwise, it will get that from CSUM, but online, it will probably get that directly from SSUM. Big point is that, I told you, we had to change something in the code to avoid calling CSUM too much time, and to make, I want to load that, to load that, to load that, and then I execute the loads. It's very important. And to say I want this column and this column and this column and not all the columns to reduce the number of execute query and to fetch only the necessary data. So that's something which will change your response time, really. The remaining problem are still speed, anyhow. So anyhow, you know the users. So as you see, I'm a bit experienced. And I know that when you change PC of somebody, yeah, the PC is so fast, fine. And 2 weeks after, something happened. My PC is just as the other. She's just used already to work with the new one. After 2 weeks, they don't see it's fast. It's always too slow. And caching. So so you know the problems of caching. I mean, if I cache on something on Azure and it changed on SharePoint, I use bad information. If each time I want to use the cache, I check on SharePoint if the cache is okay or not, why do I use a cache? So if you want to do that, you can do that. There are some things which are interesting inside the list. It's the last, you can get information about when the list was changed or when the data was changed in the list. Just take care about that, look at that. You can get this information, but you have to take care when a view is changed, when a field in a view is changed. Very often you just know that something changed in the list. So reload the list, the views, the fields, the content types, and everything. But okay, that could perhaps be a problem for some of our clients who change very often the list, but on an app deployed to 365, normally the end user do not change their list and fields and views so often. So you can work with that. So have a look to these accesses or these methods to on lists. And if you find some things which exist on SSUM and do not exist on CSUM, it's only because you did not find them. I think that every instructions which exists in SSUM exists in CSUM too, except if it's clearly specified, for example, to get information from the root site. You cannot get information from the root site from a subsite. But I mean, if you want to delete an object, try to find .delete. List.delete or something like that. Perhaps they added that, but list.delete does not exist. You have to ask to the context to make a delete object of the list. So usually it exists in CSUM. If you don't find it, just bing it. Yeah. And if you don't find it on Bing, you just didn't find it, but it exists somewhere. Webpart properties, at least last year, when on an app, again, inside an app, not inside a SharePoint online site, but inside an app, the end user was not able to make edit page, add webpart, or change the webpart to change the properties. So we are developing something to create pages and webparts inside. That's quite easy. But the thing that we decided is to is not to use webpart properties, except one. We have a list inside which we serialize webpart properties, our own webpart properties. I mean, the send email has some properties. It's serialized, it's sent to a list. And the webpart properties, that is just the ID of the definition. So that's easy. Then we developed something to edit this property, so it's just an editor. So as the user can't edit the webpart properties, he can edit information which go to list. And again, as we cache information on Azure, it's easy to cache simple SharePoint items or simple data, serialized information. Ribbon, so it's the sad thing. Currently, we are not able to do that. We will have to look if it's possible to do that dynamically now, but at the time, it was not the case. We use a component which is called Fluent Ribbon. I don't know if you already used it. It's really a fine component. You can really add buttons on the fly. It has big icons, small icons. It can do a lot of things, and it works really fine. You can set a JavaScript condition which makes the buttons active or inactive. I mean, all the things which are completely normal for a ribbon, but that's really for a dynamic ribbon. the application can change that on the fly, but not online, so we just work with buttons. And the single solution on-premise online, the point of interest is, as I said, on-premise with SSUM, I explained that, online JavaScript calling Azure. So what we decided that our web parts are close to empty, both sides. They are close to empty. They are not the same, but they are close. I mean, one is really a web part, which will call the SharePoint server. The other is a client, what we call a client web part, which we call Azure. But then the code which is called is at 98% the same, with this difference, as I showed before. Functionalities are close to the same. And thanks to the data kernel to work with SSUM and CSUM. But as I told you, you can develop everything with CSUM or with REST and all these other stuff. I mean, something which is running on both worlds. We decided to use CSUM because for our developers, it was more evident to work with because they knew SSUM and the objects are close to the same. And now they don't use it anymore. Because they use the data kernel, but that's it. So, a small summary. Ah, there is something I did not say. It was done. I know why I didn't write that, because we did not achieve that. My problem is here. I won't repeat that. It was that. Just for the people who will load the PowerPoint, if somebody does. My problem is performances. We can change a lot of things. We can tune a lot of things. We will continue to change and to improve the performances. But the problem, the biggest problem is this structure that display that, call back. Display that, call back. Display that, call back. I have only three here, but I can have, as I said, six, eight, and more. And there is something that was linked to that, the fact that the user cannot edit the page inside an app. If he wants to add a web part, he cannot do that. So what we are thinking about, in fact, we already made some tests which are positive, I mean, but not as much perhaps as I thought, but we are still in the testing phase, is to develop only or to deploy only one web part. And inside the web part, as this one is close to empty, it's just one JavaScript line. It's easy to make one empty frame here with, let's say, a table like that, and one single line here, one here, one here. They can call these. So they will call it three times, but they can pass an ID or something, which will be the same for all three, which will permit to this guy to grab the data or to put all the data together. So we have to make some tests, but it's a way that we explore, and we found some trick which permit to speed a bit the application. So we didn't. Currently, we have an improvement of, let's say, 30% of speed. The speed is 30% better, but so it depends on the page, depends on the number of web parts, but it changed a bit. But it's not so obvious. So I think I said everything, single solution. So perhaps it's the thing, single solution is possible, I think. It's really, we were not sure of that when we started. It was the reason why we spoke with the Microsoft guys. And first answer from Microsoft was no. And we had really to fight with them, not against them, but with them to find a solution. And it works. It works, except some small things. So just take your keyboard and try. So thank you. And any question? Yeah?
How did you solve the deployment on Azure? The deployment.
What do you mean by solve?
Yeah. With the auto-hosted apps, you can deploy it easily to SharePoint.
Yes?
The Azure component, how did you deploy this?
It deploys on both.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the way, in fact, we develop an app. The app, it's a package which is available. And then the client must buy or rent an Azure, 365 instance. And then he can add the app, and it will deploy where it has to go. So the Azure part, it can run on our Azure machines.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you.